missing anyway.
Advent makes innkeepers of us all, asking each of us to make room for Christ's arrival. Today, let's prepare room for Christ to be born again in our hearts, our homes, and our lives. Please silence your cell phones as we enjoy the prelude that Kathy's prepared this morning. Well, that's one of my favorites. I don't know about you guys. Good morning and welcome this first Sunday of Advent. Please register your attendance in the sheets that are sitting in the pews there. Pass them down to your neighbor. If you're new or visiting today, if you put your email or phone number in case we can reach you, that'd be great. We have Advent devotional booklets out in the narthex, and you can take one per family. The church budget and officer nominees were presented at this morning's congregational meeting downstairs between services. Thanks to all the 2017 officers and congrats to the incoming 2018. Thank you all for serving. We couldn't do it without you. The board president will be Linda Mosteller starting January 1st. This afternoon from 3 to 5 will be the night in Bethlehem. Come see what things were like when Jesus was born. Thank you to Michelle Elser for making this happen, too. A reminder that this is off the normal schedule, but the commissions and executive board will meet tomorrow night. Commissions at their normal time and executive board will be at 8 o'clock. Caleb Wood invites you to attend the Casper Children's Theater performance of The Elf next weekend at the Elks. Be sure to check the bulletin for any announcements that I've skipped over. Do we have any additional announcements that anyone would like to share? Okay, then let's stand now, greet those around us before singing our opening hymn this morning, found on page 165. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
I'll take a hug. Do you want to light candles this morning?
I wanted you to do it again. I do love that song.
People I don't even know.
What'd you do to your arm?
You know, sometimes you just gotta keep your spouse in line. I don't know if it's like spraying or strangers.
Thank you.
bulletin. Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Salvation draw near us, our vision engage. Let us pray. Here we stand, O God, thankful and hopeful, beginning this season of Advent, of waiting, of preparation to receive your Son, our Lord. May your Spirit strengthen us as we anticipate Christ's coming. In his name we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Taken from the Latin, the word Advent means arrival or coming. The season of Advent, marked by four Sundays leading up to Christmas, is the beginning of the Christian year. It is a time of watchful preparation as Christians take time to spiritually prepare for the coming of Christ as we celebrate again the arrival of Jesus' birth. Since ancient times, the form of circle has been a symbolic of the eternal power of God, the Alpha and Omega, our beginning and end. Early Christians adopted the seasonal use of evergreens to represent the eternal nature of God.
The tradition of lighting candles on an Advent wreath is more recent. The first specific record of the Advent wreath, as we might recognize it today, dates to 1839 in Hamburg, Germany, where candles were placed on a wooden wheel as a teaching tool for children and progressively lit to mark the journey of counting the days towards Christmas. The custom of lighting Advent wreath candles was introduced in America in the early 1900s by German Christian immigrants. Now, in many different Christian churches in various countries, Advent wreaths are a visual marker of his holy season of waiting. Each Sunday during Advent, one additional candle is lit to remind worshipers that more of Christ's light is coming. This morning, as we light the candle of the Advent wreath, a candle of hope, listen to Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Let us join in singing the first verse of number 132, When God is a Child.
Christmas,
invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. I think that Mrs. Huckfeldt is going to come up as well for a special presentation. Over the last several weeks, when our children have come to worship or Sunday school, when they've brought a friend to church with them, they have received a raffle ticket. Some of them have brought canned goods, and they received a ticket when they brought food to feed the hungry. So the raffle is for a Christmas quilt that our downstairs quilters have made. And I'm told that today is the day. So let's see, who should we have draw?
Well, I would like all of the downstairs quilters to come forward.
Oh, how nice. Ladies, if you helped make this quilt, come on up.
And we're going to have the oldest of our downstairs quilters draw. So young for the old.
I'm not going to get in the middle of arguing who's the oldest. You all can self-select the wisest, maturest woman.
Oh, hello.
That's okay. So, who is doing our drawing? Cindy said the oldest.
Oh, good night. I'm only 91.
Stir him up real good.
I'm trying.
Okay, no cheating. If you draw your name, I'm suspicious. Kristoff! Congratulations! On behalf of all of our children, we want to thank all of the quilters for your love and your help. So that's pretty exciting. It's kind of like you got a present this morning.
I didn't even know my name was in the book yet.
Well, you must have showed up sometime for Sunday school or church or something. Yeah, that's very cool. I have a little show and tell for you all. I want you to turn around and look behind you in front of the table. So we have all these Christmas decorations up. We have poinsettias and angels. There's a nativity scene on the table. And then there's this funny little pot with a tiny little green plant growing in it. It looks a little bit out of place. But I brought this little plant to share this morning because to me it's a sign of hope. It's a sign that God is always working, and even in the winter time, plants are growing. This little pot sits in our house, in our sunroom at home, where Charles thinks there's a jungle. Because people give me plants, and I just water them, and they grow, and then I give them away, and it all starts over again. That plant in that pot is an Easter lily. And I think it's kind of cool that we have an Easter lily at the same time we have poinsettias, so that when we celebrate Jesus' birth, we're also remembering Jesus' resurrection and his love for us. So for me, it's a sign of hope. And today we lit a candle on our Advent wreath to symbolize hope. I just want to ask you guys, do you have any ideas, what does hope mean to you? If you had to define the word hope, what would you say it means? Any ideas? I know I'm putting you on the spot. What do you think, Kristoff?
I think it means something along the lines of, like, you need to believe in yourself and always think there's a good possibility for something.
What a wonderful statement, to believe in yourself and think of a good possibility. So to have positive thinking, even when things are hard, you know you can make it through a hard time. What a good example of hope. Any other examples of hope, what hope might mean to you? This week, I invite you all to be thinking about hope. Think about things you're hopeful for. Think about what you would hope for your family, what you would hope for our world. And let's have a prayer together. Loving and gracious Jesus, we thank you for the ways in which the season of Advent brings us hope. You gift us with the hope of eternal life, with the hope of your presence in our midst. Lord, this winter, as we wrap ourselves in warm quilts and we snuggle on a cold night, may we be thankful for the warmth of your love and the hope that gives to the world. And all God's children said, Amen. Thank you all for coming. You can go ahead and go to Sunday school or worship and wonder or sit with your folks. And thank you again to the quilters for that beautiful gift. What a wonderful encouragement that is for our young people. There's a list of joys and concerns on the back of your bulletin. I would encourage you to look over those. And as we share these prayer concerns, you may want to reach into the pew rack in front of you, take out a prayer card, write a note on one side for someone that you want to know is being held in prayer today. Our card share this morning is for Jennifer Force. She is the secretary for the Central Rocky Mountain region. Jennifer recently lost her mother-in-law, and earlier this year, her mother had passed away. So it's been a hard year for the family. They'll be traveling to Texas in January for a celebration of life service for her mother-in-law. So you may want to offer words of sympathy and support to Jennifer, or simply thank her for the work that she does on behalf of our region. I'd also encourage you to think about writing a prayer card for Keith Rouse. I am glad that he took his pastor's instruction to stay home in bed today. Keith had back surgery the day before Thanksgiving, and just a week later, he was here Wednesday night for choir rehearsal, bound and determined to be well as soon as possible. And it was apparent that he was in pain before the evening was over and needed to go home and rest. When you wait 3 years to have surgery and you finally get it, it's hard to be patient after that. So please pray for Keith that he can be patient with his body so his back has a chance to heal completely. He got 3 screws in his back and some foam to fuse the SI joint. The pain is definitely less. It was a successful surgery, but the incision is still tender and his body is adjusting to that hardware. So please pray for Keith for healing and also for patience. He has some papers coming up for Casper College and finals next week, and I imagine like other college students of all ages might be a little stressed. So prayers for Keith Rouse. There's a list of folks who are in treatment for cancer and others who have ongoing health concerns. We continue to pray for all of them. Rita Peterson asks for prayers for her cousin Bill, who is in life care. He has cancer and it has advanced to the point where he is unable to walk. Prayers of peace for him. The missionary we're lifting up today is Nicotemo Tapeko, who serves in Fiji. And we continue to pray for ongoing recovery efforts after the hurricanes and victims of violence around the world, including those still shocked by the shooting at a small church in Texas and a bombing at a mosque in Egypt. Our prayer partners this morning are the members and pastors of Cairn Christian Church in Lafayette, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary. You're encouraged to sign and send greetings to them. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer? Tom. Prayers for Jennifer Burke, whose grandmother is headed to heaven soon. Debbie. Prayers for all of those who are grieving this holiday season, who are struggling with memories of loss, who are facing depression or sorrow at a time that seems so joyful to those around them. Amber.
The Curlin family, Stan lost his mom.
Prayers for Stan Curlin, whose mother passed away. Virginia. Prayers for Bruce, who will have surgery Tuesday morning to address his cancer. He lives in Texas. Kristen.
Prayers for my friend Cindy and her husband Richard. They battled the end of his brain cancer and she struggles with being a strong caretaker.
prayers for Cindy and Rich as he's battling brain cancer. Pam.
Kind of a joy. I have a new position now at the hospital. I'm going to be in the business office. So prayers for patients again. I'm learning all over. And it's going to be hard to do my coworkers.
Prayers of joy for a new job at the hospital for Pam, but also prayers during that time of transition, saying some farewells and learning new skills. Jim. Prayers for Kimberly as she has chemo very intensively over the next 3 weeks. Gloria. Amen. Thank you for the reminder of the heart of the season, celebrating the life of Christ. Paul.
For a thanksgiving for those who have led our church in the past year, and also prayer for those who will be leading it into 2018.
If you were not able to attend the congregational meeting this morning, we did have the election of officers and approval of next year's budget. We give thanks for those who have led in the past year and pray God's blessing upon our incoming leadership. Randy Sue.
I'd like to mention Tracy Padilla, a member, previous member, I guess. Her son, Matt, down in Colorado, had a seizure last Sunday, and he'll have, I think, surgery. They're looking into it. He's got a cyst at the base of the skull.
Prayers for Matt Padilla, who will have surgery on a cyst at the base of his skull. Let us bring all of these concerns and joys, as well as other prayers in our hearts, to the Lord this morning. God of grace and glory, we give you thanks for the precious gift of this Advent season, when our hearts are filled with hope as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, even remembering the cost he paid on the cross for us and his glorious resurrection. Through Jesus, Lord, you have given us the hope of eternal life. And it lightens the burdens that we carry here on earth. Lord, we pray for all whom we have named this day. We ask your healing hand be with those who are grieving. Comfort those who struggle with sorrow in a season of joy. Be with Jennifer Force and her family as they mourn her mother-in-law's passing. Lord, we pray for those who need physical healing and for those who are on the journey towards you in heaven, when they will be blessed with eternal healing. God, we pray for Jennifer Burke and her grandmother, for Cindy and Rich as he struggles with brain cancer and she faithfully serves as a caregiver. We pray for Bruce as he has surgery on Tuesday. For Keith as he recovers from back surgery, we ask for healing. God be with Kimberly as she goes through chemo. Be with Matt as he seeks treatment for a seizure and his possible surgery. We pray for Rita's cousin Bill and others who are living with cancer. And we rejoice with Pam at a new beginning in her life. O gracious God, each one of us has needs. Each one of us knows someone dear to us who is in need of prayer. Lord, we ask that you would hear all the prayers we bring, those spoken aloud and those whispered silently in our hearts. We ask your grace to be upon Nicotemo Topeko as he serves as a missionary, upon the pastors and members of Karen Christian Church. And we give thanks for those who have led this congregation so faithfully in 2017. And we pray your blessing upon newly elected and appointed leaders for the coming year. Oh God, it is by your grace that together we answer the call to be church, to be a community offering care and support for one another, to be a people who through word and deed proclaim your glorious love revealed to the Word in Jesus Christ. O gracious God, bless all who are in need this day. For those who dwell in darkness, we ask your gift of light. For those who know despair, we pray for hope. And as the season of Advent begins, gracious God, we ask that you would draw us closer to you every day as we become innkeepers in our own hearts to make room anew for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Personally, I always love this time of year. I specifically love the first Sunday of Advent, that occasion on the church calendar when we intentionally mark our journey towards celebrating Christ's birth. But it can be kind of a messy time of year, too. Often the first Sunday of Advent falls immediately after Thanksgiving. This year we had an extra week in there, an extra Sunday, and our elders led a beautiful worship service last week, hanging of the greens, decorating our sanctuary. Because Charles and I were out of town for Thanksgiving with my family, we haven't put up our Christmas tree yet. I don't know when we will. I don't know if we will, but that's okay. I still have pumpkins on my front porch, and yet here at church, the first candle of Advent is lit. Do you ever feel like you're not quite sure what time it is? You have one of those days when you get up and your calendar is so full, you don't even know if it's morning or afternoon. I can't count the number of times that I'll be sitting at my desk in the church office. Someone will come by in the afternoon, they'll see me and say, "Good morning," and we laugh. I think it's because we're used to coming to worship on Sunday morning, and so when we come to church, it feels like morning, even if it's late at night. The table for us as followers of Christ is a place where we keep track of time. You see, Christians gather together to share the Lord's Supper at all times of the day, at a midnight mass, at a church camp sunrise service early in the dawn, at worship on Sunday. Somehow to me, it does seem appropriate to have a sprouting Easter lily in the midst of the poinsettias at our communion table. You see, the table is a place where for a moment, time ceases to exist. Here at the table, we're already present at the eternal banquet in heaven with our Lord and Savior. Here at the table, we travel back in time over 2,000 years to the night Jesus was with his friends in the upper room. And here at the table, in this very moment, in this holy now, God is with us when we break bread and share the cup of salvation. Whatever timeline your spiritual journey is on today, one of hopeful waiting, joyous to begin Advent, or one of feeling overwhelmed and stressed with the season, one that's somehow stuck between pumpkins and turkeys and Christmas trees, even if you don't know what time it is. You're welcome to come to the table and savor this gift of now as we share the Lord's Supper. We'll prepare for communion by singing number 417, "We Place Upon Your Table, Lord." At the table in this holy now, we look ahead to the heavenly banquet, and we look back across the ages to the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. We share the gifts of God with the people of God. Let us pray.
Everlasting God, whose love for us is without measure, we give thanks for the blessing of daily bread. May your gift of the Spirit through the breaking of communion bread enrich us spiritually as we come to this table. Bring to our minds the sacrifice of Jesus as we ask for your presence within and among us, O God. Also, be with us as we receive this cup of the Lord's table. We remember Jesus on the night he was betrayed and ask that in what we do, we don't betray him in our own lives. Guide our thoughts and actions this coming week, as we dedicate ourselves anew to the building of your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
Advent season is for waiting for the Lord to come. Not only do we anticipate the baby in the manger, but also the return of our Lord. As we await that arrival, we are in fellowship with others who are waiting, which helps us keep our focus in the right place and support one another while waiting is difficult. The Spirit is in us, bearing gifts that help us stand strong in our witness to Jesus Christ. Let us give to God from the depths of our hearts and with great joy. The diaconate will receive our tithes and offerings. God of hope, we come today bringing our gifts and dedicating them to your service. Bless these gifts and use them to serve the needs of the many who need to know your presence. We bring them with joy in our hearts and songs of hope and praise on our lips. Amen.
The scripture reading today is Matthew 1 through 6 and 17. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salem, and Salem the father of Boaz, by Ruth, and Boaz the father of Obed. Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. So all the generations for Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation of Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations.
I'm glad that wasn't the very first time Belle ever volunteered to read scripture. Thank you, well done. Our second text today comes from the Hebrew scriptures for us from the prophet Isaiah. This beloved prophet speaks so eloquently of the coming of the Messiah that we often hear words from Isaiah during Advent. This morning, a few verses from the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Anne and Amber, for that wonderful, uplifting music, reminding us that indeed the Christ child is holy. What a wonderful reason to celebrate during this season. Would you pray with me? Holy child, this morning we hear of your family tree and our place in it. We ask, O God, that you would bless us with understanding of your holy word and bring meaning and purpose to our lives. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. So Isaiah introduces the notion of the family tree. What's your family tree like? Is it strong as a mighty oak, or are there some branches that kind of trail off to the side a little bit? Jesus' family tree is described in two different places in the Gospels. There's a listing of genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew that traces from Abraham through Jesse, the father of King David, down the generations to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the Messiah. In the third chapter of Luke, Jesus' genealogy is again given. In that instance, trace the opposite direction, starting with Jesus talking about his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, and then tracing beyond them to grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, all the way back, not just to Abraham, but even beyond to Adam, son of God. So a little reminder about Jesus' family tree, especially this stump of Jesse. 1 Samuel 16 tells of the time when the prophet Samuel was called by the Lord to anoint a new king to replace Saul. Samuel was directed to go and make a sacrifice and to meet Jesse and his sons. When Samuel met the first son, the eldest, the firstborn of Jesse, he thought, surely this young man will be a good king. He looks strong and brave, healthy and tall. But the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, don't look on the outer appearances, for I look on the heart of a man. Progressively, one after the next, Samuel met all of Jesse's sons. There were seven in a row. Strong, good-looking young men, smart, popular with their peers. Any one of them would make a good king. But time and time again, the Lord kept saying, nope, not that one. Nope, not the good-looking one. Nope, not the smart one. Nope, not the oldest one. Nope, not the popular one. Nope, not the athletic one. Finally, they get down to the little, scrawny, eighth son, David. At that point in his life, David was little more than a water boy to his older brothers, running errands, helping them when they were tending the sheep. He'd be sent out by mama to the pasture with a message or lunch. That was the one that God chose to have Samuel anoint to become king. The ancestor of Jesus, King David, had a pretty inauspicious introduction to the prophet Samuel. Maybe the same is true of your family tree. It really gives me courage when we study the genealogy of Jesus to know that along the way, there was a prostitute, there were a couple ramblers, there were some scoundrels along with those kings and saints that bore sons from their loins that ended up descending down to Jesus of Nazareth. It gives me hope for my own family tree. Oh yeah, I've got a good Baptist minister back there a ways, but I've also got somebody who was scalped by Indians on the American frontier, someone who jumped ship, abandoning the British Navy to swim to the shores of California and introduce the line to America. What is your family tree like? Are there some scoundrels on your tree? Are there some branches that go a little bit crooked or maybe hook back and forth a time or two? Thank goodness God does not expect us to be perfect people born of perfect people. Instead, God invites us to be forgiven sinners. People who, like Jesus, grow from the stumpy places in the world. Those trunks that are cut off. Those branches of the family tree that seem truncated and beyond hope or repair, those are the places God chooses to reach out and touch with the Holy Spirit and bring forth new life. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. In scriptural language, to be afraid of God is to be in awe of God. The fear of the Lord means to be standing in the presence of holiness so great that you cannot quite believe it's true. What a great testimony this is to Jesus. For you see, Jesus is the full embodiment of the presence of God. Jesus is the one who reminds us how much God loves us. God, the creator of the universe, chose to come to earth and be born in the humblest of places. Jesus' lineage could have easily descended not just from King David, but from the mightiest of all kings, so there would be no question that he was royalty. Jesus could have been born in a palace, clean, rich, broad, a seat of power. Instead, his mother birthed him in a borrowed cattle stall and used a manger for his bed.
God chooses to work in those hidden places where we least expect to find the holy. And this is the essence of the hope that marks the beginning of the Advent season. Many of the world's major religions, in one way or another, in their own language, help people find their way to heaven, to nirvana, depending on your terminology, through right belief or right action. There are different teachings to help people find the good life, whether on earth or in the life to come. Many religions try to help people get to heaven. Christianity is unique in that it speaks through Christ of bringing heaven to earth. In the story of Jesus, the very presence of God, the divine one who created all, in the story of Jesus, the divine one chooses to dwell. One of the most beautiful names for Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the story of Christ, we're reminded that God loves us so much, God won't leave us alone. God loves us so much that God wants to move into our house, in our neighborhood, drive our car to our job, and sit down at our table to share a cup of coffee or tea. In Jesus, we're reminded that God loves us so much, God wants to see the world through our eyes, to know what it's like to be human, even to bleed and to die. God loves us so much, God is willing to become one of us ordinary folks from a stumpy, crooked, leaning over family tree. God loves us so much that God, who is perfection beyond perfect, chooses to hang out with folks who forget what they wrote on their grocery list and overspent a little bit last week and are trying to make it up in their family budget. God loves us so much that he chooses to dwell in the home where sometimes there is peace, Christmas carols, joy and light, and sometimes there's squabbling as children argue over whose toy that is today and whose turn it is to do the dishes. And by the way, honey, have you finished the laundry? That's the kind of house where God wants to live. God, I think, is just a little bit crazy with this love thing. If you were the creator of the universe and had all the power possible, wouldn't you pick to be born in a palace instead of a manger? Wouldn't you choose to hang out with the wealthy, the beautiful folks? Instead, God chooses to hang out with all of us. The ones with warts and wrinkles, the ones who are tired and grumpy sometimes. The hope of Advent is that Jesus is born for you and for me, for ordinary people who know that we're sinners. The Jesse tree is not just about branches and lineage of a king. In a sense, it is also a ladder that stretches from heaven to earth, so that we can be grafted onto Jesus's family tree, so that you and I can become sons and daughters of the Most High, children of God. What greater hope could there be for the world than this good news? The divine one chooses to leave behind the glories of heaven for a time and be wrapped in amniotic fluid and planted like a tiny seed into a woman's womb to be born into the world so that God can know what it's like to cry and to laugh, to struggle and to succeed, to strive and even to fail, to make friends who are steadfast and sure, and to have friends who will betray you when you need them most. God loves you so much that God decides to be planted like a seed in the human heart, to grow, to branch out, to blossom. The season of Advent is a lot like waiting for a seed to grow, making room for hope in our hearts. This week, during the first week of Advent, as you take time to read daily devotions or visit with a loved one about God's love in your life, I encourage you to think about the stumps on your spiritual journey. Is there a place right now where you feel stuck? Think about the stumps of broken dreams or forgotten promises. Think about the stumps of that time that you fell short and you wish you could make it up. Think about the broken places in your own life. Damaged relationships you don't seem to be able to heal. An opportunity that now looks like a closed door or maybe just a cracked window. Think about those places of darkness in your own life, your own journey, and then pray for God's light to come. Pray for hope to heal those broken places, because it's out of the stumps where we least expect it that the Spirit of God will arise. Let the hope of Advent flood through you this week as you draw near to the Christ child and to God, who loves you so, so very much. That is good news. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today sings of Isaiah's prophecy of the Jesse tree, the genealogy of Jesus, who is sometimes called the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. We will sing together number 160, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming. And if there's anyone present this morning who's looking for a church home, we invite you to place your membership here by transfer of membership or confession of faith. If you've never been baptized into Christ, we invite you to do so this Advent season. Let us stand and sing together. I would remind you that this afternoon is the Night in Bethlehem event, a wonderful day for children of all ages.
And you all are invited to come, whether you have kids in your family or not. It'll be a fun time of crafts and storytelling. We'll meet a puppet who will share the journey of Jesus. It will be a delightful time as members of the congregation are in biblical costumes. I've been drafted to work in the Bethlehem Bakery, and so I invite you to come and sample today's special of cinnamon bread that you will be invited to make yourselves. All the fun begins with registration at 2:45, and then the event is 3 to 5. There are refreshments downstairs. I know that there was a load of stuff left from the tasting party, so if you have time to greet one another, please stay. Enjoy a cup of coffee and a brief moment of fellowship before going on your way. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being planted like the seed of hope in the heart of the world. This Advent season, help us to make room in our lives that you, God's love, may grow and bloom and shine on those around us. Send us forth in hope to live, to love, to serve. In your precious name, O Christ, amen.